There is nothing like that first sip of your morning coffee, specifically a hot cup of it. Bitch, the way that Cafe Bustelo is dancing on my taste buds right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah. What's poppin', sweets? It's your favorite baker and host, Alicia Reedy, and I am back with a brand new episode of Cookies and Conversation. Yes. What? Y'all got two solo episodes back to back? Let me find out. Let me find out. I got time. Okay, well, the thing about that is, like, I have time, but I don't have time. But that's not why we here. We just gonna give what it needs to give. But what I will say is, like, shadow work on steroids was a lot longer than I anticipated. I don't go into, like, recordings, like, well, in some cases I do. But I don't really go into recordings and, you know, prepare for the length that it's gonna be. Like, I just kind of do what my heart tells me. If I feel like I'm talking a little too much, I'll be like, all right, let me go ahead and wrap this up. And I had so much more to share with y'all that I decided to create a second episode, a part two, different title, but the same type of vibe. Where I've been, oh, not my voice cracking like that. It is the crack of dawn AM. But where I've been, where I'm going, this is just an episode where I tie up those loose ends. And in case you were wondering, we are sipping on some hot coffee this morning. I'm very excited about it because I have a very tight deadline as far as, you know, my time and things like that to get this episode on and popping for y'all. And I was like, wow, I really get to sip my coffee and talk to y'all. And not that y'all asked, I didn't make it anything like super crazy special today. I just made a nice couple cups, you know, nice hot coffee with some brown sugar, you know what I'm saying? Added my sweet and creamy creamer. What the fuck is that, by the way? If anybody uses that creamer, what the fuck is that? How do y'all go from the Cold Stone sweet cream to sweet and creamy? Bitch, it's not that, what? It's the same vibe, you know what I'm saying? It's cute. But that name is whack. Anyway, goddamn. Ew. But I added that, warmed that up, frothed it up a little bit, and we here. And goddamn, I am rambling. So let's get into it. I'm very excited about this because this episode is about why I left Lush, my return to the mic and my business, and why I stepped away for as long as I did. Obviously, y'all have like an idea, but we're gonna get into some nitty gritty things. We're gonna talk about the healing journey. We're gonna talk about the grief that comes within the healing journey, the grief that a lot of people don't talk about. We're going to talk about why I had to let some people go. We're going to talk about a little bit of everything. Maybe not the depths of my personal life, even though my personal life is a topic of discussion on here. But we're going to talk about bits and pieces, and over time and with the guests that I bring on this season, you all will, I guess, like, get more insight. And, you know, one thing I take a lot of pride in, one thing that I do that a lot of people can't do or don't like to do is be an open book. The thing about me, I'm an open book. However, over the course of time, I have become very selective in regards to what I share, how I share, when I share it, who I share it with. You know, even if you think you know, you don't know. So that's fun. But either way, I'm one of those people, it's like, if you ask me a question, you're gonna get an honest answer. I ain't got no shame. I ain't got no secrets. I have nothing to hide. I embrace every part of who I am, and a lot of people can't say that. You know, I embrace the light and the dark. I embrace all of the parts of me, you know, the good, the not so good, everything in between, the uncomfortable, the sweetest, juiciest moments. You know, all of that. And I'm very honored to be able to share that openness with all of you in the ways that I do. And for as long as I have, I'm very excited about where we're going. And I'm very excited to see how this episode unfolds. Let me sip my coffee before I get too deep into it. And by the way, this shit is busting. So I think the first thing that will be the easiest for me to talk about in this episode is stepping away from Cookies and Conversation for as long as I did, and TMB, the Mona Lisa Bakes. I chose to do so because life inspired me to do so. And one of my closest, nearest, and dearest friends, Daniel, who was on season 2 of the podcast. He lives on the West Coast, so like the time that we make to catch up with each other is super sweet and special. We were just like on FaceTime one night, and as y'all know, he's like my personal tarot reader on top of being one of my closest, nearest, dearest friends. And not even getting a reading, but he was like, I don't like this. And then I ended up getting a reading, and he was like, yikes, I'm not like, the cards aren't saying anything good right now. Yeah, no. You're gonna have to like handle the mission with Lush, take care of you, take care of all this court shit, and then come back when you're ready. Do I still feel completely ready? No, like not even a little bit. Like, I don't think I'm there at all in any way, shape, or form. I don't think I'm ready in any way, shape, or form solely because there's a lot I'm still processing and moving through and dealing with on a very extremely personal level. I just feel like I can't explain it, and I know I'll talk about it a little bit more later, but I just feel like there's a level of healing that I have yet to tap into, and I don't necessarily know how to tap into it, which is why, or one of the reasons why, I've been so quiet. I've really just been like trying to figure out how to have that breakthrough. And I think what I'm experiencing in my mind is like, there's like this blockage. It kind of reminds me of like, I don't know. I feel like I'm just expecting what I've already experienced before, all the breakthroughs that I've had before. I don't know what this one is. Or is it that I've done so much healing that I have the tools and I'm moving through life in a way where it's like, I don't need to expect a breakthrough because where I am now, like I'm doing exactly what needs to be done. I really don't know, but I just feel like there's something in the way, or maybe the breakthrough in this part of the healing process is going to be so grand. I don't know. But anyway, that's playing a part in how I navigate through my business and all the extensions of my business. If there's anything that 2020 taught me, it's that pushing myself to my breaking point, to me being way past burned out, is not the type of life I like to live. This has nothing to do with living a soft life. It's really just like, I mean, it plays a part, but it's not the end all be all. But I fell into a serious depression, you know? I experienced even more PTSD, and I'm very open about my PTSD. I'm very open about the depression. That's a part of me that I never want to revisit. So anytime I experience like a bout of that or anything remotely close to what I have experienced, anything that changed my life in a really negative way, it makes me move differently, operate differently. It can increase my anxiety a little bit, so I try to avoid that. I don't care how badly somebody wants their cookies. Who I am and nurturing who I am and taking care of business, taking care of my daughter first and foremost, is more important than some goddamn chocolate chip cookies, some goddamn Aries or chicken and waffles or a whoopie pie. Like, I don't give a fuck. I just don't. Lush was really toxic. As much as they try to promote like this healthy, happy, relaxed lifestyle, like as far as like aromatherapy and the actual products, sure, absolutely, they're great. But behind those four walls, where y'all be getting your bath bombs from, bitch, let me tell you something. I don't know if it's the whole company or just the DMV, but it's problematic as fuck. They tried to, and I guess this ties into one of my topics, why I left Lush. We're going to circle it back to everything else in a moment. I left Lush because it's toxic as fuck, okay? What's really ironic about Lush right now is the fact that they've recently broken their social media silence. Like, they've been pretty quiet since, like, 2020 because they were trying to take a stand against, like, privacy and things like that. And that's cute. However, comma, the way they disrespect their Black employees is beyond me. And not just Black employees, but any employee that stands up for any injustice in the workplace. One thing about me, I'ma air a bitch out, okay? I'ma air some shit out. And if there's anything that's not right or if there's something that's unjust within my workplace, I'm going to speak up about it. My supervisor that came in, I was her right hand for every fucking thing. But for some odd fucking reason, at the top of this year, like right after the holidays, she was singing a brand new song. I mean, this bitch, I would call and ask questions. I'd reach out with like a text or an email with questions, concerns, You know, because that's the type of rapport that we created. And the way that she would yell at me and cuss at me over the phone was disgusting. The way that she treated me as a human being was disgusting. She was a manipulative ass bitch. And I wasn't going to say anything because I don't want no smoke. But at the same time, I can handle it because the nigga ain't got no reason to lie. I really don't. What disappointed me the most was HR telling me basically like I needed to check my tone. Not once have I ever been disrespectful. Not once have I ever raised my voice, made anybody uncomfortable. Not once have I projected any type of emotion or anger. And you know, especially because I'm black, you gotta move differently, unfortunately. And the one thing that they don't want to accept is the fact that they were trying to whitewash that store. I was one of two black people in there. It can't get any more whitewashed than that. And on top of that, I was the only core employee that was black. And that was between both locations where I worked. The second one was, well, no, they were both kind of a problem. It's not fun being targeted, you know? And with Lush, a company that's raised hundreds and thousands of dollars for Black Lives Matter, a company that was on the front lines for George Floyd, you out here being disrespectful as fuck to a black woman that's giving your brand the support it needs. The way it made me feel is like I was a token black person. I got them through the holiday season and that was that. It impacted my mental health tremendously. Those bitches chewed me up and spit me out. Having to put on a smile in the faces of people that literally wanted no parts of me because they got their fill was horrible. Next thing you know, a bitch is getting ambushed by HR, this crazy ass, dumbass store manager / supervisor, and my district manager, my area manager. It's always, Alicia, you are so amazing. You are a superstar. You are so smart. You are so intelligent. You're so beautiful. You're so down to earth and cool and funny and chill and honest and real. Like, it's always that until I talk about some bullshit. Bullshit that should not be happening within the workplace. It's always that. It's always that until I call some motherfuckers out for being nasty, for being unfair, for being rude, for not treating people as equals. Like, they were plotting to get me out. There's some stuff that I can't necessarily discuss, but it's the way that they painted a picture that they tried to make black and white, and it wasn't, trying to tell me that I was unfair for following a proper procedure, for doing the right thing. One thing I take a lot of pride in is my honesty, and a bitch ain't got no reason to lie. So to have people in real time, in my face, all at once, twist a narrative, create a narrative rather, that is not in alignment with who I am. The fact that I was in a position where I had to apologize, right? For how a white woman did me, and I ain't do shit to her except be in her fucking corner. It's disgusting. And let me tell you something. When my second to last shift there, right? My second to last shift, at the end of it all, they were like, so the next time you come in, which is Tuesday, right? Yeah, we're going to discuss employment. And I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, this shit better go for me and this crazy ass bitch to my left. It better. That's what I'm thinking, right? But I was like, oh, this is what we're doing? I said, if this is what we're doing, I will give you my keys right now. I said, I ain't got no problem with that. None. Alicia, we're gonna circle back. I was like, okay. I knew when I was going into work with my man, I love you, babe, that Tuesday, I knew it was gonna be some bullshit. And I'm not gonna talk about what they did just yet. Not yet. Maybe I'll give y'all a little teaser. But basically, they tried to let me go the wrong way, the illegal way. And I was like, oh no, baby. I'm already resigning. I have resigned. Keep your papers. Keep your fucking papers. Cause I'm gone. No company is worth sacrificing my mental health. No company that promotes one thing but acts another way behind closed doors. No, you are not for me. And at the end of it all, I chose me. And I called my man. I said, babe, you need to pull the fuck up. He had just left my store before they started doing this bullshit to me. I was like, you need to come right now. Right now. He came. He was there. They questioned him. And I was like, he can be here. He will be here. And he was like, I'm not going anywhere. And they didn't like that. Mm. And when I aired some shit out, respectfully, of course. Calmly, of course. The fear that was on their faces was very fulfilling. I did what needed to be done, and I knew I made the right decision. And I made sure customers knew who the fuck they were shopping with in Annapolis Mall. Yes, ma'am. I'm a firm believer in protecting my coins and putting my coins towards brands and companies and people and things that are authentic and honest and real, and less is not that. So fuck y'all. I'm waiting to get this shit off my chest for a hot minute, bitch. Hot minute. So as you can see, that is why I stepped away from, or one of the reasons why I stepped away from Cookies and Conversation and the Mona Lisa Bakes. Also, if I were to add one more thing as to why I left Lush and why I stepped away from my businesses, it's really the fact that Lush was demanding more of my time repeatedly, like to the point where it was so disrespectful and it impacted my motherhood, and they did not give a fuck. My child would be asking, she would be at home waiting for me for hours. A bitch will go in at 7-8 o'clock, get off at 4, or supposed to be getting off at 4, scheduled to get off at 4. Meanwhile, I'm not leaving till almost 7-8 o'clock, because for some odd reason, them telling me once that being a mom is great, but not until it inconveniences them. That's why I left Sugarfina. The same fucking bullshit. Them motherfuckers told me, on top of other things, that my child was an inconvenience to the company. Oh, really? Fuck y'all. Here's my key in the goddamn safe. Stop playing with me. I'm a firm believer in being in environments where I'm being chosen the same way I choose those people. And unfortunately, Lush turned into a company, or showed me that they are a company that really doesn't give a fuck how authentic you are. They will chew you up and spit you out. Don't let that live, laugh, love ass bullshit cloud your judgment after listening to this. Now, don't get me wrong, they got some cute shit out right now and I really want to partake. But I think I have enough product to get me through for a while. God damn. Like, my favorite perfume is by them. It's called the Smell of Weather Turning. It's the most Virgo, Pisces, Axis-ass shit I've ever worn in my life. Like, bitches love it, okay? Niggas love it, okay? Period. My man loves it. That's really all that matters. I mean, I gotta love it too, because I'm gonna smoke it. Anyway, back to the most important thing, me. And, you know, my why. The pros and cons of me stepping away from business, you know, like, it gave me some time to really reset and look at myself and really be like, oh my God, like, you were really out here running on E. You were really out here running on fumes, girl. Like, calm down. Not only that, I was making orders constantly, and I couldn't get around to like sending them. Being in and out of court with Rayvon for as long as Tyler has been alive, literally her first week of life, as early as then, up till, you know, February of this year, is a lot. Being in courtrooms, getting familiar with the fucking judges, bailiffs knowing who I am and giving me tissues because they know I'm gonna cry. It's a lot for any person. It's a lot for any human being to deal with. And I was tired of that being my story. So I really just wanted to get through my shit like Daniel and I talked about and move on with my life. You know, I felt so conflicted when it came down to stepping away. I felt conflicted about how I would break my silence coming back. I was conflicted about, you know, how I was going to move through business, because I was trying to rebrand around the same time, or get ready for the rebrand around the same time that I decided to step away ultimately. And one thing that I have unfortunately experienced since 2020, shout out to Rayvon and that nigga Ty, is putting my trauma on display. In 2020, I did it so people could stop hounding me about product, hounding me about their orders, after I clearly told them that I was going through a traumatic time. This time around, I did it in silence, and the people that needed to know knew. They sent me their love, they sent me their well wishes, and they respected my privacy. And if any of those people listen to my podcast, thank you for being patient, for being kind. Before I knew things were going to get really bad, one of the first people that knew was Eva, and I'm very grateful for her. I love her so much. She was like, please take care of you. You know, please take your time. And even though Eva and I are friends, and I'm honored to be able to be like, wow, Eva and I are friends that met through social media. It's fucking crazy to me. I love you, girl. What's really crazy to me is that, and I hope this doesn't sound bad, and I said this to Malik. We went grocery shopping one day and this was on my mind because I was complaining about Court, of course. I was complaining about Rayvon, of course. I don't know. It doesn't fucking matter. But anyway, I was like, do you know how embarrassing it is for him, Rayvon? It's like celebrities know how shitty of a human being you are. That is embarrassing as fuck. I know for a fact that I would probably live under a rock at that point. Okay. But it really is, especially for me. Like, it's embarrassing being like, yeah, this is what I have. I'm this is what's going on. Like, I'm so sorry. Let me say this. Eva, check or not, is probably one of the most patient. No, she is one of the most patient and understanding customers I have. Way more patient and understanding than people that have been customers of mine for 3 or 4 years. And if that isn't telling, I don't know what is. I really don't. But in the same vein as, like, you know, sharing traumas and things like that, I've kind of moved away from sharing it so people can get off of my back. It's all about the approach. I'm basically saying, like, this is where I am. This is what I've, you know, had on my plate. And unfortunately, I can't give you all of me in the ways that you deserve. So please be patient with me as I move through this chapter. The support that I've received is amazing. From anybody that's in my queue to people just literally on the timeline. Like, when I broke my social media silence, the support, and I talked about this in episode 1, was amazing. Because normally I get hounded about cookies. Okay, my order is $13.78. Why haven't I received it yet? I'm sorry. I was too busy. Recovering from almost dying. My bad. I hate saying this too, but I think that me saying that I almost died is what has helped me receive a lot of grace from others. And I hope that is not the narrative going forward for myself or for anyone. I mean, I don't think anything is going to happen anytime soon or at all ever again, thankfully. But we'll talk about that too. Oh my God. That, like, low-key triggered me. But yeah, that's just kind of where we are. Oh boy. And you know, like, and what happened within that time, so like from November to February, or like end of January, no, February is just shit. A lot of come to Jesus moments, a lot of like stripping away the busyness of my life and figuring out who the fuck I am post-trauma. Post almost death. There was a lot for me to take in. I remember sitting in the car with Malik one night and bawling my fucking eyes out because I wasn't doing anything that really brought me joy once I resigned from Lush. He and I experienced a lot of changes within our relationship, from us working in the same mall every day together, being together all day every day, to him just coming by, you know, every day, to that being a little spaced out because of work and things like that and personal needs on both of our ends. You know, it just, it was a lot for me. I'm grateful to have a very understanding partner. We're going to talk about that too. Y'all, there's so much to talk about. Fuck. But I'm very grateful to have a partner that is so understanding, is so honest and authentic. I really could not be any more grateful. But yeah. The in-between from November to February was a lot. The anxiety that I experienced leading up to Court. Is he going to serve time? Is he not? Will my customers still be there? Will my listeners still be there? My supporters? I was worried that I would lose y'all. I was worried that y'all would lose interest and wouldn't give a fuck. I'm not going to sit here and act like my silence and actively taking time to reset and get back to myself so I can give you all a better version of myself hasn't impacted my business. I'd be lying if I said that didn't happen. I think I'm also trying to figure y'all out too and try to figure out what y'all need right now. I can give y'all all of the newness in the world, but like, I'm just really trying to figure out where everybody is. And that's been kind of hard. I feel like Instagram is also going through a lot of changes that make it very difficult for me to like shine in the ways that I'd like to. Social media is changing a lot in general right now. And with the rebrand that the Mona Lisa Bakes is going through, I'm taking my time with it, which is why I've been quiet. And I'm just trying to take who I am now, where I'm going with that, including y'all. And it's just, it's a lot to take in. It's a lot to digest. I don't know. But there's going to be like a lot of development with the brand. A lot of newness is coming. Newsletters for the Mona Lisa Bakes. And then also as far as like Cookies and Conversation, an email list is going to go live very soon. And I'm very excited about that. That's going to be amazing. I can't wait to share that with y'all. I think y'all going to fuck with it heavy. I think the monthly newsletter is really going to show you all where I am in real time, what to expect in real time. So you don't have to question what I'm doing and where I am. You don't have to question what's going on with Cookies and Conversation, because I'm going to be popping up in your inbox every day. Oh, I'm sorry, every week. Not every day. I'm not one of those types of people, because I don't like that happening to me. But I'm very excited. There's so much more I want to share with y'all, but I'm just going to leave it at that for now. That's like the most recent development, because I am recording this episode like the morning before it drops. Like what I tell y'all, time has and hasn't been on my side. Listen. Oh, Jesus. I didn't realize how tired I was. I did not realize how tired I was. And it doesn't help that like I'm cold. This coffee's great, but I'm cold. Okay, so as always, let's talk about the healing journey. Let's talk about it, you guys. Let's do it. The theme of my life this year is alignment. The theme stems back to figuring out just this brand new version of myself, learning this new version of myself, giving this version of myself what I need and what I deserve, and making sure that I place myself in situations and around people that are in alignment with me now and where I'm going. I don't like no half-ass shit. I don't like no fair-weather-ass shit. And if there's anything that being seconds from death has shown me, is both of those things. Specifically fair-weather-ass people, right? I didn't realize this is going to be like, it's difficult. I've had to let go of some people that aren't, you know, that kind of needed to go, to be honest. They weren't doing anything for me anymore. Just as like from a human standpoint, a very personal standpoint, they just weren't doing it for me anymore. And I also had to release people because of how they didn't show up in my life. And when they did show up in my life, it wasn't in a way that was something that fulfilled me. This goes right back into alignment. You know, it doesn't matter how much you love somebody. If someone is not matching your energy in a healthy way, of course, or if they aren't honoring who you are and supporting you in the ways that you need, releasing them is like the only thing to do. Yes, you can have a conversation with them and kind of like, you know, work through things. Sure. But sometimes some people don't deserve that conversation. You just have to honor yourself and your boundaries and what you will accept and what you will tolerate, and set up that boundary and let them go in peace, knowing that they were there to fulfill the role that they were meant to for as long as they were meant to do so. You don't have to keep people in your life for the sake of longevity. You don't have to keep people in your life because of what they've done in the past. Like, loyalty is so important to me, yes. However, I'm a firm believer of like, in, you know, like, if you aren't meeting me where I am, and if you don't understand where I'm going, I don't need to have you around. I'm a firm believer in having people in my life that are, yes, walking on their path, you know, the path that has been crafted and created just for them, but also understanding where I'm going and being by my side, just like I'll be by theirs. I may not be able to understand every step of the way. I may not be able to physically be present every step of the way, but knowing that I have their back through it all is essential. And unfortunately, I was not given that. I wasn't. Because people that I really needed to show up for me, the ways that I showed up for them, weren't there. And that was not fun. It had nothing to do with the fact that my life was temporarily in shambles and theirs wasn't. It's more like, you weren't there. Anybody that truly knows me and has had access to me on an incredibly personal level knows that I don't ask for a lot from people except for support and for you to just be there. And the people that I was really trying to lean on showed me that I can never lean on them ever again. Because if you can't be there after me almost dying, I don't know. Like, why do I need to be in contact with you any further? Because all you've done is show me that if it were to happen again, God forbid, you would not be there. And God forbid I did lose my life, you would probably be there crying your fucking eyes out, wishing what, thinking about what you could have done, should have done, what you wish you would have done for me. I don't have time for that shit. I don't have room in my life for the should-haves, the could-haves, the would-haves, the I wish. I don't have time for that. You know, I don't have time to second guess people. Once you show me who you are, I have no reason but to believe that. And if you don't have an explanation, then there's that. And a lot of the time, for me, an explanation is not needed because you've already shown me what it is. Actions speak a lot louder than words. Sometimes actions speak just as loud as words. And I love when a motherfucker talks out of both ends. Come on, keep showing me that you ain't for me. I'm cool with it. I'm cool. That's all I needed, for real, for real. If I'm being honest. When I spoke up about the verdict recently, there was an old friend of mine that decided to be weirdly supportive, dropping hearts and like, oh my God, yes, and shit on my timeline and comments and like all that or what have you. But it got weird for me, like really fucking weird, because the last time I heard from her, she was showing her fucking ass on the timeline, not knowing that I was dealing with some court shit. And the craziest part is, even if I did tell her that I almost died right before she decided to show her ass on Twitter, it would not have mattered. It really would not have mattered, because she would have done the same shit again. Now, granted, early on, she knew about a lot of stuff. I kept her updated about a lot of stuff. And I know that there's no love lost on either of our ends. She could not give me what I needed. I love all of the people in my life, and I still love her. But I also don't like to have people in my life that only speak to me when they want gossip or they want to know the latest bullshit that Rayvon has put me through. I don't know. It just wasn't genuine. Behaviors like that are so fucking toxic to me. Wow. There are a few people I had to let go of. I'm trying to figure out how specific I want to be. Oh my God. And I hope this doesn't sound like me complaining. It's just, this comes with the healing journey. If you were here in 2020, let me tell you something. If you weren't here in 2020, let me tell you something. I was cutting niggas off left and right. Like I was karate chopping them niggas out of my life. Respectfully. I really was. And boy, did it help my mental health. And what I experienced, unfortunately, tragically, in 2022 was kind of like the remix of that. I was like cutting people off just like that, but I wasn't really announcing it, or like I was setting boundaries up, and or I put boundaries up or in place, I'm sorry, and it just kind of unfolded the way that it did. One person in real time, like literally the night that I almost died, I sent her pictures, and she was basically like brushing me off the next day. I understand that sometimes people cannot fill up your cup. I understand that some people can't fill your cup up when theirs is empty or lacking in certain ways. But also, I think that doesn't necessarily have to be the case if I'm telling you that I almost died. I cannot be one of your closest friends and you're trying to fill your cup up in ways that are temporary, that are superficial, instead of really being present, like in real time, focus on the things that matter. But instead you're focused on clout and figure out who's going to accept you today, who didn't accept you yesterday. I don't have room in my life for people like that. And again, there's no love lost, but priorities. Wow, I feel like this is a serious vent session. And honestly, it is. in way more ways than I actually thought. But she's the type of friend or person that, for example, it was like I was a day or two into having my boot. If you were here at this time last year, I experienced sciatica and I lost all feeling in my right leg, like literally from my hip where the nerve is to my toes. It was bone straight. I was in a boot for about 4 or 5 months straight. And that sucked. I'm on FaceTime with her and, you know, she's catching me up on her life and that's great. So I let her have the floor. Then it was my turn. And I would rather not have people do shit like on their phones while we're on FaceTime together. Cause like, I know you have, like, I know I have your undivided attention, but here I am talking about worrying if I'm never going to be able to walk normally again, which I don't, unfortunately. And she's worried about how she was trying to make some guy she just met her baby daddy. And she was clocking people's social media pages to make sure that they weren't together. I was so disgusted and I can't. There's a difference between venting and trauma dumping, and she could not really figure out the difference. She got better with like asking me if I was in a space to like listen to her. Ironically enough, one of the very few times that she asked me that was the night before. Oh no, I'm sorry. It was the same day that I got assaulted, just earlier in the day. How fucking ironic is that? And also, I don't know how I could be friends with anybody that, again, just brushes off, you know, someone almost dying in pictures of what they've endured like that. I don't know how somebody could choose, I don't know, lackluster fulfillment in other places instead of supporting the ones that really need them the most. I just, wow. It is what it is. I will say my life is a lot more peaceful now that those two people are gone. But, you know, I ain't got no shame about it. It's not fuck you, but I mean, I love you, but no thank you. I'm good. I had to release a lot of people that have triggered parts of myself that I have moved so far away from. I had a friend that was actually cool with one of the people that folded during my whole sexual assault case with one of my exes back in 2020. So she and I, she said they weren't cool, but they actually are cool. And that makes me very uncomfortable because I don't like when motherfuckers say one thing and do another, move one way. And, you know, just, it's not in alignment with who I am. And also I had to remove myself from her peacefully because she's one of those people that has to learn the hard way. I have learned to not be around people that have the ability to abuse me, that choose to abuse me in whatever way. I have learned the importance of understanding that people have to learn things in their own time and they have to, how do I word this? They have to be shown the light and the dark before really taking things on. I understand the importance of people learning things in their own time and learning things in hard ways, easy ways. I also peacefully removed myself because once you introduce me to a narrative that ends up becoming legal and you ask for my support and then you don't use it and you proceed to stay in the unhealthy patterns and toxic connections, no. I'm good, love. Enjoy the bumpy ride. I'm not gonna sit here and act like I didn't learn things the hard way with me and Rayvon, not including what I experienced. Okay. I'm talking about just like any, like as far as like an emotional standpoint, a mental standpoint, I learned my lesson. So when I see people going through the same pattern and worse, and they come to me for guidance and then they don't take that, there's only so much I can do for you at that point. Cause I can't sit and actively keep you in my life if your behaviors and who you surround yourself with and who you connect with are going to trigger me. Cause then I'm doing a disservice to myself, to my boundaries, to my wellness, honestly, my health. No, thank you. And I thought I blocked her number. She reached out not too long ago and I was like, oh girl, I'm gonna just leave you where you are. I ain't say nothing. I just let it sit there because, bitch, we are not friends. You an app on top of that? We good. We good, love. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. I think one of the connections that's been really hard for me to work through is one of my oldest friends. I don't know how deep I want to go into that because my love for him is very deep. And he listens to this podcast. So I'm gonna be very mindful about my words. There's a very specific person. I'm not asking. I've never asked to be first, but I have asked solely for the acknowledgement of the fact that I've been here, and people around him need to understand that. Because he is my oldest friend, I take a lot of pride in our connection, not me getting emotional. So it does hurt. He knows me well enough to know that I don't really lean on anybody. I sent him pictures of myself the day after I was assaulted, and I sent him the pictures of me propping up my neck with the bags of ice so I could breathe normally and move normally. I sent him audio messages sharing with him in real time what was going on with me since, you know, the night before it was the assault. I barely heard from him after that. You can't tell me that you're gonna pray for me, you're gonna check on me, you're gonna be supportive, and then not be there. And the one time I ask you to be there, you actually don't come. When I say I need you there, and you don't come. No explanation. Just, oh my God, I love seeing you so happy. This is near my birthday. I love seeing you this happy. I was pissed. I asked you to come and be there to celebrate my life that I just told you only a month before was almost taken away from me. Like, your family is my family. You are my family. Like, our love is like so deep. And the one time I asked you to be there, you weren't there. And then I don't like that, like, surface level ass shit. I really don't like surface level ass shit. Y'all should know this by now if it's not obvious, because I'm telling y'all like my whole life story. But having conversations that are surface level with me won't get you far. I don't care how long I've known you. But what hurt me is the whole, oh, wow, court. Oh, yeah. So now we're going to act like we don't know? We're going to act like we don't know what's good? I don't care how much I love you. I got to figure out where you're meant to be in my life at this point. Like, that's just real. I can't have people in my life that pick and choose when they want to be present. I can't have people in my life that decide when it's convenient for them to show up or for them to be the person that I need them to be. I understand that we all have to fill our own cups. That's what we have to do every day so we can be the best version of ourselves. But when we do that, we need to be able to show up for others too. We need to be able to pour into others. And yes, you can't pour from an empty cup, but sometimes when you're in a drought and you see that somebody's in need, they might need those one or two drops, especially if you give a fuck about them. Cause who's to say that you won't get the same in return tenfold? Who's to say that you won't get it? Because if the foundation is solid, you're going to get it, period. If you're going to have people in your life, you need to be able to pour into them in the ways that they need, in the ways that they deserve, in the ways that you would want to receive. I only have room in my life for people and connections and places and things that leave me feeling fulfilled when I walk away and get right back to me at the end of the day. I only have room for people that honor themselves in healthy ways, in ways that they deserve. I only have room in my life for people that understand that healing is not linear and support is necessary. And for me, if you can't give me that, we don't have anything. Longevity does not mean shit to me. At the end of it all, Malik has only been in my life for some odd months, but he has shown up in ways that many people, the people I just talked about, could never do. And it's not just because he's my man, that's who he is to his core. If you have people in your life that you question, if you have people in your life that do not honor you in the ways that you need to be honored, the ways that you need to be seen, supported, heard, loved, validated, if you're questioning them, they are not for you. And this is why alignment is so important. We have to choose people and things and places that are directly in alignment with who we are, where we're going, who we're becoming. We need to move away from this narrative of like, well, I love them because X, Y, and Z. No, because sometimes love is not enough. Longevity is not enough. And we need to stop coming up with excuses for these people. I don't care how long I've known you. I will cut you the fuck off if that means I get one step closer to where I deserve to be. And that's that. Woo! My God, today. And speaking of my man, let's talk about it. you know, the thing with a healthy relationship is that being loved healthily can still come with triggers, right? And it's not necessarily because of the person you're with. It's really because our nervous systems have been regulated to not be used to that. They've become like not used to something that's good. So when we experience that good, it's like a huge reset. Our bodies are like, whoa, what's going on? And that's a lot. That can be a lot. When Malik and I first started dating, one of the things that I had to have him understand is that he was not responsible for my triggers. Now, don't get me wrong, he's triggered me a couple of times. But this is much later. But early on, I wanted him to understand that he is not responsible for the triggers I developed from people that came before him. But what I'm so grateful for is that he takes the time to understand those triggers. And he's moving away from, and I've noticed this too, he's moving away from walking on eggshells, especially because I told him to not do that with me. I always want people to be truly honest with me. And when Malik comes on the show, y'all will hear how honest he is. And if you've shared the same space as my man, you know how honest he is. He does not hold back anything. And I'm so grateful that I get the version of him that is honest, but incredibly gentle. I love that for me. I'm very much his queen and I get the best treatment, and I'm very honored because he gets the same from me. That's my baby. But one of like just triggers for me have been really hard. This is the first time I have ever been loved healthily and openly at the same time. I don't have to question my man. I don't have to worry about us. I'm an overthinker and he's a great communicator, and I'm a pretty okay communicator when I want to be. Like if I'm in my feelings, I'm not. I'm not the best because I really need time to process. But for the most part, I am. My overthinking just gets in the way. I'm grateful for the fact that he actively takes the time to understand my triggers. He actively takes the time to figure out what I need, and he implements it. Like he literally shows up and just does it without question. I'm grateful for his patience and his understanding. And one of the things that I shared with him early on is that I love the fact that I'm able to give him the healed version of me as well as the still healing version of me. Because who I am now, like I've done so much work, and I've only ever wanted to be with a partner that would be understanding of those two things. And to have a partner that has done a lot of healing and is still healing is huge. Our paths are so different as far as our healing journeys go, but we still make a conscious effort to show up. It's like a constant overflow. It's a constant pouring of into each other. We make an active choice to not only choose each other, but to discover how we need to nurture each other, how we need to leave each other feeling fulfilled and worthy and seen and validated and loved and whole. I love that we are individuals with our own shit to work through. We both have our triggers. We both have the things that kind of hit home in the ways that we don't really like, you know, want them to. And we make sure that we take care of that. I think one of the hardest things that I have been moving through, working through, is being gentle with myself and fighting survival mode. I've shared it before on the timeline how being gentle with myself has been really hard. Fighting survival mode is even harder because since being loved healthily, I've really found myself running away from problems that don't even exist. I've found myself honestly, truly just sometimes making things difficult that don't even need to be made difficult. I'm grateful to have a partner that is so understanding, a partner that validates my experiences and really is right by my side when I do the work. I love that he constantly reminds me of the fact that I don't have to run anymore. I don't have to protect myself anymore. I don't have to have a guard up. I love that I have a partner that gives me a safe space to land, the same way I'm able to give him one. I'm very grateful for that. But survival mode isn't easy. I mean, it's hard to like leave behind. And I would honestly, truly say that's probably the biggest trigger for me because I'm always expecting the worst. It's like anytime there's a disagreement, I'm just so used to somebody leaving, no matter how big or small it is. And trust me, our disagreements are not that big. They're really not. And that's just kind of where my nervous system goes. I don't care how grounded I am. I'm always prepared for my man to leave. Or I always like, I hope rather, that he doesn't leave. So that's why I prepare for it. Like I said, he ain't going nowhere. Thank God, because I love him a lot. But yeah, I'm prepared for him to leave because I've always been left. I've always been with people that threaten to leave because I'm holding them accountable. I'm grateful to have a man that apologizes, and I'm grateful that I have a partner that is accepting of my apologies. I'm grateful to have a partner that lets me take off my cape. I've only ever wanted somebody that would allow me to do that and be that. It feels really good, like really fucking good. I think with where I am in my healing journey, I have been learning to move through grief. I am learning the importance of, you know, grief being in alignment with love. I'm learning that grief is okay, but you can't stay there. Grief is tricky. I don't wanna say it goes away. I just think that, like, we all get used to it. It becomes a little bit more normal. I've caught myself grieving my old life. Not my old life with Rayvon, but my own life. Who I was before the assault is now who I am today. I miss how grounded I used to be. Like, not that I'm not grounded, but there's a lot that was disturbed. You don't just naturally and normally bounce back from almost dying. I feel like he broke my foundation and I'm starting from scratch, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's hard for me because I've done so much work up until that point, and now I'm unpacking a new version of myself, a new life on top of that. There's just a lot that comes with it. Grief is uncomfortable. It's hard. It's not fun. It's not easy. I think it's something that people kind of expect you to just move through and get over it and get past what has happened. But grief has stages and it takes some time. And I don't honestly truly think that grief ever goes away. One thing that's impacted my happiness is, and honestly has slightly triggered a bit of my depression, is I catch myself grieving and comparing myself to my old life and where I used to be. I knew that my recovery, just from everything that I've experienced, would not be easy. I knew that it would not be fun. I knew that it would be challenging. I don't know how else to explain it, but if there's anything grief has taught me, is that it really is the greatest thief of my joy. And I can't let that continue any more than it already has. So I, every day, especially since the assault happened, make a conscious effort to take my life back. I honor myself every day. Even on the days that's really hard, whether that means rest, working out a little more. I miss who I used to be, and I'd be lying if I said I didn't. I'd be lying if I said that I was completely happy with who I am now and where I am now. I love my life so much, but I'm grieving who I used to be before all that bad shit happened to me. If I'm being for real with y'all, I was grieving who he used to be for a long time. If there's anything my old life has shown me, specifically the chapter where Rayvon came back in. So May of last year to July of last year. And honestly, truly, the court process from July to present day, it's really shown me how much I grieve the old version of him. Do I miss him? Absolutely not. But I grieve, or I have grieved, given myself the time to grieve who he used to be, what we used to be. I have given myself permission to experience that. I've given myself permission to acknowledge my hurt and acknowledge the fact that he is who he is. What he has shown me over the last 5-6 years of my life is that he is an abuser. I grieve the version of him that used to be pleasant and fun and fulfilling, supportive. I do not know what happened, but he has never been able to bounce back. And he has chosen to stay there. As a result, it has become who he is. If I were to unpack triggers, right? Again, you know, just acknowledging the fact that, I don't know. I've had like a lot of come to Jesus moments throughout my, like, this portion of my healing process. It's kind of like 2020 part two, where I'm stripping away all of the things that keep me busy and distract me, not necessarily in bad ways, but the layers that help me get even closer to the root of who I am,
my core, my essence. I've learned that community is really important to me. Normally, like, I'm the person that, like, I seclude myself and I stand under my little rock until I feel like I've done enough healing that I can make the time to be around people again. And if there's anything life has shown me, it's that I can't necessarily do that anymore. Community is very important to me. I thrive with community. I also thrive being by myself to work through some things. But I need people now more than ever, because this is a new life I'm building with the most amazing man and the best version of myself. And the life we're creating together, the life that we are working to give Tyler and our future children, I'm so excited. And I'm so excited to have y'all here for the ride. Community is so important to me right now. Leaning into a softer version of myself, again, has been difficult. Like I was saying before, naturally, like, I just run away, which is my number one defense mechanism. One of the biggest ways I protect myself. Let me run before something hits the fan. Let me run before you do. You might not even be thinking that, but I'm gonna do it just because I don't want you to hurt me. But as a result, I'm hurting myself. I'm hurting you. I'm trying to get out of the habit of preparing for the worst case scenario. I'm prepared for whatever, but I tend to operate in a way, especially if there's not a lot of communication from anybody, I tend to operate in a way where it's like, okay, the worst scenario is coming. Worst case scenario is coming. And I've also noticed that since the assault, I take a little bit longer to process my emotions and my thoughts. I'm grateful for the fact that I give myself that time, but I take even longer now, which I'm not necessarily proud of, but I'm still grateful for the fact that I am taking my time, because I don't like to speak on emotions and thoughts that aren't fully matured, for lack of better words. Like, if I don't really give myself time to sit and be, it doesn't work out. And to be honest, I've just been burned out. And I think that me being burned out has heightened my triggers a bit more. I think the fact that I'm not as grounded as I used to be is a huge trigger for me too. I think that it has drastically impacted my healing journey in a way where it's like, okay, what keeps me grounded now? And if I'm being completely honest with y'all, being Malik's woman, you know, his future wife, being Tyler's mother fulfills me. That keeps me grounded. A nurturer, a healer, that is who I am to my core. And I'm starting to see that things and experiences that highlight my natural nurturing energy, my mothering energy, my, I don't know, just all of that really grounds me. Yoga is still amazing. I'm not burning my incense as much because I have not been able to get my hands on any. However, comma, I still make a conscious effort to, like, really get back to me. I do. I will say, though, that when I am triggered, I do give myself time to process where the trigger is coming from, how it came to be. And when triggers show up in my relationship, on my end specifically, not my man, but on my end, I make sure that I communicate that. Because I feel like if Malik and I didn't have this awesome open communication, I don't think that we would be able to last. We're both very honest people. We're both very upfront and blunt people. Again, one of the biggest triggers I'm facing is really just, it's a self-inflicted trigger. I just compare myself to who I used to be, where I was going. You know, nothing in life is guaranteed. So the fact that I've had to change course as quickly as I did is a lot for me to take in. And I'm really just trying to figure out what's next. I know what's next, but I don't know what's next, if that makes sense. I know that I'm moving closer to my purpose. And I have so many things to share with y'all. I'm so excited. Life has been hard. Just working through all of this and moving closer to wholeness. It's been a journey. It absolutely has. Within my healing journey, I'm understanding the importance of making room for joy. This is the happiest I've ever been. This is the most full I have ever been. I look at pictures of myself now and I'm like, I'm smiling more. I'm making room for fun. I'm making time for fun. I'm making time for the people that love me. Flaws and all. I'm working on making time for them, but honestly, it's been hard to make time for people because, like, I need community, but it's hard for me to make time because I'm, like, so caught up in my own head. That's why, like, I just be like, yo, if you see me, like, or if I'm, like, a little too quiet, don't hesitate to pull up on me. Contact me. It's okay. I promise. But joy, I lost a lot of it. And I'm so grateful to be in a space in my life where it doesn't feel like a task. Making room for it doesn't feel like a chore. It is natural. You know, I wake up with an abundance of gratitude and happiness moving all throughout my soul. Wow, that hit home. I was not expecting that. I have yearned for a happiness like this for a very long time. And to be able to have a community of people, a family that is so supportive, and a partner that is everything I've imagined and more in me being and working towards the most whole and fulfilled version of myself feels so fucking good. I've yearned for this for a very long time. And the fact that I don't even have to work to have those things, to maintain those things excessively, is so fucking awesome. If I were to tie it back to Rayvon, have I forgiven him? Not yet. Until I get the apology I deserve, which I most likely never will get, I don't think I could ever forgive him. And I'm one forgiving ass person. Naturally, I'm very much like, forgiveness is for me. It has never been hard for me to forgive anybody. But how do you forgive somebody that tried to kill you for no reason, unprovoked, far from home, and out of nowhere? How do you forgive somebody like that? Somebody that does that? Someone that doesn't see any wrongdoing in their actions? How? Like, there was a chance I wasn't going to have this life that I have now. How can I forgive you? I can't forgive somebody that quickly. Anybody that does that to me. Especially when they're deeply connected to my child. Deeply in the sense of like blood. It is not, and it's honestly nothing more than that. For real, for real. It's really not. Because according to Tyler, Malik is dead. Period. And that's my type of carrying on. Okay? Oh my God. But what I will say is that that lack of forgiveness has not interfered with my joy. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to have a very understanding and supportive and nurturing partner. A fun partner. A partner that taps into my inner child and brings out the best in me. And encourages me to nurture the parts of myself that I deem uncomfortable or unworthy. I'm grateful to have a partner that loves me thoroughly, effortlessly, and fiercely. And I'm so grateful to be all of that to him. I'm so grateful to have a partner that does not hold my healing against me. A partner that is healing with me. That encourages me to be the best version of myself every day. And works with me to make it happen. And all of that I'm able to do for him as well. I'm grateful to have a community of amazing human beings that have a shared goal. And that's really to be the best versions of ourselves together, but on our walks of life, our separate walks through this thing called life. I'm grateful to have a family that is supportive. I'm grateful to have a now filtered tribe that contains people that support me and see me and validate me and hear me and are understanding of who I am now and where I'm going and hold space for me. And I'm so honored to be able to do that for them. I'm so honored to be able to hold space for a community of people that want to do better and be better and want more out of this thing called life. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for my life. I'm so grateful to still be here. I'm so grateful that my daughter has her mother. I'm so grateful that Tyler, my pride and joy, my heart in human form. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for my girl. It's always been me and her. It has always been me and her. Whether or not Rayvon and I were at odds, it has always and will always be me and her. We do not acknowledge him. What I'm so grateful for is that Tyler now has such an amazing father figure in her life. Like, Malik is dead. I'm so grateful that my daughter has someone that she can count on and lean on. Someone that is there and fills her up. That is so fucking beautiful to me. And I don't take this new life of mine for granted. I really don't. I'm sitting in so much gratitude right now. This conversation has been all about tying up loose ends. And I think I did just that. If there's anything I would leave y'all with, continue to do the work. Continue your journey back home to your core. The essence of who you are. Continue to find power in peace, power in stillness, power in silence. Continue to be the best version of yourself every day. Continue to make room for joy. Continue to make time for things that leave you feeling fulfilled. Continue to cultivate relationships that help you become all that you desire to be. Continue to give yourself the time that you need to rest and recuperate and reset. You can start over as many times as you need to. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You are worthy and you are incredible. And I'm so proud of you. Shit, I'm proud of me. I am so fucking proud of me. Especially because I thought I wouldn't be here. And to be able to live in a prayer and in a life that I have wanted for a very long time is so fucking rewarding. I'm so proud of us. I'm so proud of this. I'm so proud of me. I love y'all so much. Yes. With all of this being said, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for being here. Until the next time, we're out. I love you.
I love you.